injured thumb. Means listening to the Penn Jillette on CBS Radio, Free FM. Sitting across from Michael Goudeau. The phone number here is 866-570-PENN. That's 7366. I'll give that number again in a short period of time because you might want to call in on this. PennRadio@gmail.com. That's PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. We've been getting a lot. We got more than usual. You forwarded me of very sexy, very
busy day, yeah.
Pictures, yeah, very nice. A woman wrote in from yesterday's BMI that she was off the charts not off the charts, of course, but she said that she was deep into obesity at 150 pounds, 5'7", and she sent us pictures of her, which were very hot and very, very attractive, although it was hard to tell much. She had too much clothes on. If she wants
her
a real
BMI seemed okay.
If she wants a real
polite
judgment,
way to say it.
She wants a real judgment from us. We need to be. We have to do the clinical work. We can't just. We're not going to judge. You know those particular pants.
This is
going to
involve tape measures and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all
scissors.
Carrots.
Scissors.
And what we're going to talk about today, however, we also had another follow-up from yesterday where there's some prison. I didn't even bother saving this. It's so crazy. Some prison is not letting prisoners have donuts.
Yeah, they don't want them to get too fat.
Yeah, because
in prison.
It seems like having sluggish prisoners is a pretty good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say, you know, stop them from having vegetables and doing push-ups.
Yeah, pizza and donuts seems like the prison diet.
Yeah, and widescreen TV.
Right.
Then they can't
very
get away at all.
Comfortable chairs.
Very comfortable chairs. No reason to get up and do push-ups. This is an old article, but I just think it's so interesting. We probably have people that want to call in about this because it's one of these great ones for me because I think I know where I stand, but I'm not sure. You know, some of them it's just like a no-brainer. I just know what I believe. But this is more complicated. This is from the Sunday Times. I don't even know what time. It's probably London, I guess, maybe. Times online. No, maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe New York Times. I don't know. All I've got on this piece of paper is Sunday Times. So, as they say at NASA, you can interpolate till the cows come home, but don't you extrapolate. They say that at NASA.
They say that at NASA?
If you walk around NASA, there'll be many guys saying that. Like in line for their Jell-O, they'll be saying, interpolate till the cows come home, but don't you extrapolate.
All right.
This is, it's an old article. It's from last year, December 31st. It's a year old article.
Provenza sent it to us, so yeah. Of course it's late.
Yeah, Provenza's always late on everything. Think about when the Aristocrats came out. Science told, this is the subhead, or this is the headline, I guess. Science told, hands off gay sheep. That's what it says. And it really isn't as goofy an article as you're going to think it is. This is, the subhead is, experiments that claim to cure homosexual rams spark anger. Scientists are conducting experiments to change the sexuality of gay sheep in a program that critics fear could pave the way for breeding out homosexuality in humans. The technique being developed by American researchers adjusts the hormonal balance in the brains of homosexual rams so they are more inclined to mate with ewes. Not you all, with ewes. More Jersey. It's more Jersey. So they're more inclined to... And mate with yous. It should be yous.
Mate with yous.
It should be yous. I think it should be shays.
Witches.
866-570-PEN 7366.
Martina Navratilova weighed in on this, defending the right of sheep to be gay.
Right. Yeah. Well, it turns out, this is the part that, not the part that surprised me, but it turns out, and I didn't know this, that approximately one ram in 10 prefers to mount other rams rather than mate with ewes or y'alls, reducing the value to the farmer.
Except that my guess is that the gay rams have much nicer wool. I bet that they wash it. They probably use it in the conditioner.
Yeah.
Those sweaters are probably very valuable.
Very, very nice. Yeah, queer eye for a straight ram. A straight ram. And they've got, the scientists have been able to pinpoint the mechanism influencing the desires of male-oriented rams by studying their brains. The animal's skulls are cut open and electronic sensors are attached to their brains.
I might agree to mate with the other sex if they were cutting open my brain as well. You're going to what? Yeah, that's a good-looking you, boy. You's awfully cute. We're
so you're
your
saying
and mount electronic.
You're
settings.
Saying if they threatened to cut your brain and mount sensors, you'd have sex with a sheep.
I would, yeah.
Take much less
a
than
male
that.
Sheep.
Take much less than that for you.
Much
it?
Less.
Much less. Now here's where it gets interesting, and believe me, there is a place where it gets interesting. By varying the hormone levels, mainly by injecting hormones into the brain, they have had considerable success, whatever the hell that means, in altering the ram's sexuality, with some previously gay animals becoming attracted to ewes, or ewes all. Professor Charles Roselli, which is not a good name for a Bond villain. I wanted this guy to have a name that, you know, you would want to fight. The Health and Science University biologist leading the research defended the project. He said, in general, sexuality has been understudied because of political concerns. People don't want science looking into what determines sexuality. It's a touchy issue. In fact, several studies have shown that people who believe homosexuality is biologically based are less homophobic than people that think this orientation is acquired. The research is being peer-reviewed. I thought the peer-review thing went out. They still doing that? Some nutty scientists still doing that? Potentially, the techniques could be one day be adapted for human use, with doctors perhaps being... That's a big perhaps. It's kind of sort of based on a true story. With doctors perhaps being able to offer patients prenatal tests to determine the likely sexuality of offspring or a hormonal treatment to change the orientation of a child. Roselli said he would be uncomfortable about parents choosing sexuality, but argues that it's up to policymakers to legislate on questions of ethics. I think that's my position right there, that it's not up to scientists. The scientists should keep doing all the research they possibly can. But the question I've got here, 866-570-PEN, 7366, is if you are gay, call in and tell me if you'd like to have a patch that would make you not gay. Would that make it easier? If you are a parent, would you buy a patch that allowed you to have children that were breeders, heterosexuals? And what if this goes further? You know, they always bring out this word eugenics, you know. This is getting very close to eugenics. Udo, oh, this is the name of a Bond villain. This is good. Udo Schucklink.
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 That's right. He's the guy who throws those sharpened cufflinks at you.
Yeah. Udo Schucklink. Schucklink. Yeah,
out
Schucklink.
My eye.
Yeah. He fought Bond in, what was it, on Her Majesty's Secret Service?
Yeah.
George Landisby or something? Udo Schucklink. That's a good... See, I wanted a Bond villain name, and it comes to me. All things come to those who wait. Professor of Bioethics at Glasgow University was written to the researchers pressing them to stop, said, I don't believe the motives of the study are homophobic, but their work brings the terrible possibility of exploitation by homophobic societies. Imagine this technology in the hands of Iran, for example. It is typical of the U.S. to ignore the global context in which this is taking place. So we get blamed for what Iran might do with our research. That's the idea?
Yeah. We should stop doing research because we don't know what those guys are going to do.
We should stop building nuclear atomic plants because someone might blow them up. Peter Dachtel, the gay rights campaigner, said these experiments echo Nazi research in the early 1940s, which aimed at eradicating homosexuality. They stink of eugenics. There is danger that extreme homophobic regimes may try to use these experiment results to change the orientation of gay people. Eugenics can be used very, very badly. There's no doubt about that. But in terms of muscular dystrophy, in terms of all sorts of genetic problems, isn't eugenics a good thing?
This guy's trying to understand what's going on in a human's brain.
No.
I don't think they're trying to figure out what's making them gay or not. I believe this is one aspect of studying the human brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems crazy. But, you know, the people fighting everything. You know, we have people write in saying if there were a pill to stop them from being overweight, they would not take it.
Right.
No matter what you are, somehow people think that's okay. You know what I mean? If deaf people don't want children to have cochlear implants because they won't be deaf.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. But all we're talking about is more choice. I mean, I think it's fine. If there's a pill that stops obesity and you still want to be obese, don't take the pill. I think the problem is when they force people to do that, don't you? I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, and if deaf people don't want the implants, they should not get them.
Well, the issue on the deaf people is if you do it before kids. 1 year old, they have normal speech later in life.
So. They go screwing it up for me.
Sorry.
I had this perfect Pat theory that was totally
I'm going to ask my six-month baby if they want this cochlear implant. If you want the cochlear implant, suck on this bottle. If you don't.
Drool all over yourself if you want this. Let's talk to Jill. What's up, Jill?
Hello.
How are you?
Great talking to you. I just wanted to point out that if a sheep can be gay, you would think that that would point out to, like, the extreme conservatives and everything that it's not a choice that people have, that it is biological.
Yeah, but your point is they don't even have to do any experiments once you know that 1 in 10 rams mounts other rams. All the work is done, right?
Well, and yeah, it should just show the conservatives that you shouldn't be arguing with these people and telling them they've made a wrong choice and you're going to hell. It's biological. They can't do anything about it.
Okay, but I've caught you here, Jill. I have caught you here. Have you ever seen a picture of Satan? He has ram's horns. I think gay rams are going straight to goddamn hell. I think you've just you called up and you were hoisted by your own petard, and an attractive petard it is, Jill. You are hoisted by your own petard. Yes, exactly. The point is that we have homosexuality in animals like crazy. We know it's a brain thing. Learning more about it is not going to change that. Do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
You do? Now, if you found out, how old are they?
They will be 1 year old next week. I have twin boys.
Oh, you have twin boys.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd been told that the brain chemistry said that they had a good chance of being homosexual, would you have worn a patch? Would you fight against that?
No. My husband and I have talked about this because we're watching reruns right now of Queer as Folk.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you going to do if they come to you and they're 18 and they say they're gay? I'm like, so what?
Well, I'll tell you, if they're both gay and they're gay with each other and they're twins, you've got a little money-making machine on your hands.
Well, they're twins, so I wonder if the other one would be, if it is biological like that.
Oh, they are identical?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Hypothetically, Jill, if they are identical twins, and if they do get to be, 14 or 15, and they do have an interest in, let's say, show business, you know what magic act you talk to first with the twins.
Yes, definitely.
You do know, and I won't use any names, but you do know how important twins are to magic hacks, don't you?
Yeah.
When you disappear over there and reappear over there, twins. As a matter of fact, there's one act that I saw that had this really sexy moment that where the guy solved a problem. He was vanishing his girlfriend, his partner, a very attractive woman. And then she was vanishing in one place and he had her appear somewhere else. And because it's an obvious jump for people to know that that would be twins, he pulled out, and I gotta tell you, there's something about this that struck me so stupid sexy, but he pulled out a marker and gave it to a man in the audience. She was wearing like a bikini, you know, like a small top and a small bottom. And he had her sign. He had the guy in the audience sign his name in big letters across her midriff so that when she vanished and appeared somewhere else, they could check the signature to prove it was the same woman. And at the moment he was signing her midriff, I kept thinking to myself, this is too sexy for me. There's something that's clicking into my mind about this being sexy. The other thing about twins is Joel, who works with us and is one of the big cheeses in getting us over at the Rio, he is an identical twin. And he said that when his mother took pictures of them when they were kids, she always put them in alphabetical order, left to right. And he says, pictures without the two of them in the... And it never crossed my mind this was true. He said pictures without the two of them in it, he can't tell if it's a picture of him or if it's a picture of his brother.
Well, we're lucky because they're about 3 pounds difference in weight because one eats a lot more. So right now it's very easy to tell. But, yeah, when they grow up, we'll have to see.
Now, twins is genetic. Do you have other twins in your family or in your husband's family?
No, my husband and I guess, started a new trend in our family because
neither
of us had them in our family.
Yeah, because Joel, his father was twins. Is twins?
Is he alive?
Are twins? His father are twins. I don't know. This singular and plural, we don't even need this.
Yeah.
But I guess the question we had here actually for the phone call was, are you attracted to male Rams? No, that wasn't the question. but thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, it does say
thank
that
you.
It's biological. Thank you, Jill. We got off on another subject, but that's okay. Thanks a lot for calling,
Jill. That's all right.
I like Jill.
She seemed nice.
Yeah, really nice. And, yeah, Joel, he put he and his brother in alphabetical order. I guess their names were Joel and Joe. So they put...
Wow.
No, that's not true. But it would be funny, though.
Baby. Joel and Jome.
But he said that he couldn't tell. And I never thought of that for... But I also asked him, and this bummed me, because I like Joel a lot. And this really bummed me. I asked him if they did a lot of practical jokes, you know, being twins. Like asked one girl out and, you know, went part of the way and then came back and switched. And he said that that they didn't do that at all. Once he took a math test for his brother who took an English test for him. That was the only time, and they were caught. It just seems
they were caught.
They were caught because the quality of the work
the names.
Was quality of the work was so different.
This is the guy. No, this is not the guy. Yeah, this might be the guy who was going to call us yesterday.
Was it? Was it?
Yeah,
well, let me just finish this one thing on Twitter.
All right.
I dated this model in New York, and we were talking about in a big group of people talking about different sexual fantasies and adventures, mm-hmm. and we started talking about twins.
Rams. Naturally, this fell to Rams.
which I asked Joel about if they ever did an exact. No, and she said that she had sex with twins. And I said, oh, cool. Tell us about it. And she said she was in Hawaii with her friend, and they met this set of twins. And she took one of them back to the room, and her friend took the other one. And I said, okay, and then you switched. And she said, no. So then you got together. She said, well, no. I said, you didn't have sex with a twin. You had sex with a guy.
Whoa.
He's just a guy. He's just a guy. If you don't have the twins there at the same time, even having sex with one twin and the other doesn't count. It has to be simultaneous. Just so you know, if you're telling like penthouse stories and sitting around, then you have to be simultaneously with both twins.
Huh?
So have we said everything we want to
Thank
say about
twins?
Thank
you for clearing that up.
It's very, very, very important. I think, isn't it? I mean, you had a sex story about twins. We won't say who it was about.
I did.
Yes, you did. But it wasn't you. It was a sex story about a friend of yours with twins. And you said that he should have explained to his wife that it was not cheating on her. It was rather just scientific experimentation. Remember that argument?
Simple error. Anyone could have made it.
I thought there was a mirror in the room. It looks like on the line we have a Monkey Tuesday story.
Patrick's on the phone. So he's trying to.
That's okay. It looks like we have someone that called in with a monkey story that we'll probably get to. We're also talking about if science can find out what makes people gay, should they? People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, the pressure group, condemned the study as a needless slaughter of animals and affront
they don't care about the gay thing at all.
Colossal waste of precious research funds. Also, you should know that Renee, our good friend Renee French, her mom is an identical twin, but she doesn't have any sex stories about her mom.
That she would tell her daughter.
which I think is really, really good. This is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN, 7366. If you could control homosexuality, would you do it? Should science be looking into it? This is Michael Goodell and Penn Jillette, CBS Free FM. I was on the air and I didn't even know it. I'm just reading the email. I'm so excited about this. You had to come in and say you're live. No snaps, no nothing. You should have warned me. Was there any way? You enjoyed that, didn't you, Patrick? You enjoyed that very much. How late were we? Just listen to the music there. Oh, 2 seconds. Okay. 866-570-PEN, 7366. I was reading some of these Gmails we got on this.
The flood of Gmails.
Yeah. I just... What? Okay, I see.
Are you going to read this?
Yes, I am. I was just reading it myself. I like to get a head start on the reading, so I'm not too surprised. I just got a thought. Once being gay is proven to be biological, the gay ram, wow, gay ram, that's just a joke waiting to happen. I think it's a joke that has happened, Tom. Doesn't that disprove people's current view of God if they say God is against gays? How could he be against something biological? I feel like eventually people will accept gays and say they were just joking about all that God hates fag stuff. Yet again, a God of the margin will be believed in. That's from Tom.
Well, here's one that I like the best. This is from Dave, and it's, I know you don't like the name Dave, but I think Dave likes you. It says, I'm not gay, but if Penn were dressed as a ram, I'd mount him. The other thing I really like is it's on Gmail, and so you know they have those ads?
Yeah.
We have over here Ram, the Miracle Mount. Ram mounts, 100% satisfaction, lifetime warranty.
Oh, that's right. Ram,
Ram mounts, yeah.
Ram mounts, yeah. Ram mount. I acted like I know what that is.
I don't know what
but
it is.
It's an auto thing,
it's
right?
It's a Miracle Mount.
Is it an auto thing? I don't know. I don't know what Ram mounts are. And Monique, who sent the pictures of her, I tried to get naked pictures out of her after she told me what her BMI was and how she looked very attractive. She said, the show cracks her up. That's what she wrote back. She didn't write back like, oh, here's some naked pictures or want to see me naked live. She wrote back,
your show cracks.
You're so funny. And another guy wrote in, I guess it doesn't have his name here, but it's very funny. If they had a pill to make me gay, my wife would sneak it into my food so I would take her dancing and shopping for shoes. So
yeah, the two-hour gay pill.
The two-hour gay pill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We do that and paint your living room.
Yeah, exactly.
Look really good.
Yeah, well, I'd say more choices, more choice. Let's talk to Ebony. Hey, Ebony.
That's not Ebony.
That's not Ebony. That's Frank. What's up, Frank? I hit the wrong button.
No problem.
What's up, Frank?
Okay, I was calling. Today is the 20th anniversary of my dad dying.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's connected to a monkey story.
Okay, well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're sorry and we're glad. But since, in honor of your dad and in honor of this sad anniversary, and because it's Tuesday and because you got a monkey story, what the hell, Frank? Let's call it Monkey Tuesday. Thanks. Okay, what you got?
Okay, well, my dad, and incidentally, I'm the big fat guy from yesterday.
Okay.
So, I'm 31, just so you know.
Okay, 31, okay.
So anyway, when he was in Vietnam, for a while he was actually stationed on a hill that they named Monkey Mountain because it had so damn many monkeys. Well, he hated monkeys.
Yeah, sure.
Hated them, absolutely hated them. And this was already a pre-existing condition. Well, one of his men had a pet monkey.
Uh-huh.
And while he was talking with some of his other men one day, the monkey got away from his owner, ran directly to my dad, jumped up, hate monkeys even more. Well, from time to time, that people would try to sneak in through the perimeter, and it would set off alarms, and they'd, you know, shoot and stuff. Well, from time to time, it was usually monkeys. And the night after the monkey poo on the head incident, everything went off, and he said that they had just opened fire, thinking that it was, you know, enemy movement. But my suspicion is that he was just getting revenge on the monkey.
Now the monkeys didn't have weapons.
No,
unarmed monkeys.
Which leads me to the theory that if you're going to assemble an assault force, sending monkeys is either amazingly dumb or very, very smart.
Very smart. Well, I think if we get
monkeys,
this is the surge that Bush is looking for. This is the surge. This is the way we win Iraq. He should send in 10,000 monkeys. That should be his plan.
Exactly. Well, I think actually Morocco or some country in Northern Africa, when originally we're going to go in, said that they'd send, I think for Afghanistan, was saying they'd send, like, they have, apparently in Morocco or some North African country, they actually train monkeys to detect landmines, which leads me to believe they just kind of shoot the monkey over to the minefield and
monkey to
let
detect
it poke
a landmine. Run through this field, monkey. Oh, yeah, he found one.
You know,
watch the head.
You know, there was a story that's probably apocryphal that I always loved about a rumble between circus folks and bikers in New England that happened up near my hometown. Like I said, I don't know the veracity of this, but they had a rumble, a hey rube, with some carny circus folks, and a biker gang, and the biker gang assembled on the hill on their motorcycles with their knives and chains and so on for this rumble. And up toward the hill came all the elephants from the circus, like 20 of them, with tent chains, which are these huge metal link chains in their trunks, just swinging them in a circle and running toward the motorcycles, and that was the end of the rumble. So using animals in battle, I think, is a very great thing. I'm so glad you're thinking about your dad 20 years later, Frank, and I'm sure you miss him. Nothing sadder. And hang in there and get back to exercising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, man. We'll see you. Bye.
How does he find time to call in?
He said he's explained this to us. We have this information.
Yes, I know.
He does 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the evening, and then in the afternoon he relaxes a little bit and listens to our show. Mm-hmm. What the hell's wrong with that? If the rest of the world was run like that, if people did their work in the morning, then listened to our show, then went back to work instead of a siesta, a little time with Penn and Goudeau. What the hell is wrong with that? Will you tell me? Explain to me what the hell's wrong with that, would you?
There's no Spanish word for it.
Okay. let's talk to Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Penn. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. What's up?
Long-time fan, number one. Great show. Good to hear your voice on the radio every day.
Thanks a lot, man.
I just wanted to weigh in on the science of finding out, you know, if your child would be gay, and I'm a proud parent of a six-month-old, and I'm very happy that he turned out the way he did. I'm very excited. But for 9 months, I was on pins and needles. I would say that if I could have custom-ordered a child, I would have done it. If I could have filled something out online and submitted it, you know, exactly the way I wanted him. So if there was the option, I think I would take it.
Well, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people, nuts, I think, will say that they – I've talked about this before – will say that they don't want to know the sex of the child. They want to be surprised.
And That's nice.
And the fact of the matter is, there are so many surprises with having a child, you don't need to add any more. And I think if you can pick sexual orientation and build an eye color, there still are so many variations among people. And we see that even among identical twins. So I'm with you. I think if you could pick, of course, this science would be used, first of all, for health things. You know, if you could find out that your child would not be genetically predisposed to cancer, if you could find out your child would not be genetically predisposed to heart disease, you know, you might be able to order a child and work it out so that the child could smoke their whole life and have no problem from that. Some people genetically okay. So you could order safe smoker could be one of the things.
Right.
So I am totally in favor of as much control as human beings can have over their over themselves and over their progeny. So
me too, absolutely.
I'm riding your bus. What's your kid's name?
His name's Derek Rush.
Derek Rush. Good name. Cool name. That's a nice name.
Thanks, man.
I approve of your name. I approve of your kid.
I approve of your show. Thanks. Carry on.
Thanks so much,
Take
Derek.
Care.
Dan's not a bad name either. Dan's not like Dave.
Not like Dave.
Any other good Gmails coming in there?
Well, some people have pointed out that Satan's horns are not rams. They're more like goats.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't know what ram horns are like. Goats?
Ram horns are the big curved.
Yeah,
you know,
Satan's
like
horns at the big curve.
No.
All right. I've seen the. Let's go.
I've seen the. You better stop right there, my friend. When Satan and I were at lunch yesterday, his horns.
I'm going to do a search for Satan, okay? And I'm going to do a search for Satan and images. We'll see what comes up, okay?
All right.
Satan. Did I look for Satan? No.
Okay,
Satan and. First picture, no horns. Straight horns on the Jesus and Satan photo. Straight horns on South Park. Straight horns on this one. I think I might be wrong. I think I might be wrong. But the image that I have of Satan is that the curved horns. But I'm on the second page, and they're all straight horns. And I'll go to the next page, and all straight horns. I think we can just say that I'm wrong. But my image of this is there anybody with curved ram horn? Let me just see. I'm going to add to the search Satan ram horn.
What was that movie where David Bowie was playing Satan?
I don't know.
Tom Cruise.
David Bowie?
Yeah.
David Bowie? Legend.
Yes. He had the ram horns.
He had ram horns, yeah. But I still can't find, even searching for ram, I can't find ram horns on Satan. When I searched for Satan ram, what came up was Paul McCartney's solo album. which I think tells you everything you need to know. There we go. If you look up Satan ram in Google Images, on the very first page, you have a ram and a body of a fish. You have a ram door knocker, Satan Gothic style, that has that.
But you automatically excluded all of the ones
with straight horns. I'm saying that you can find some with ram horns. That's all I'm trying to say. And I'll be saying a lot more of this kind of nonsense right after this. We'll take a break. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com. Mike Goodell and Penn Jillette on Free FM, CBS Radio. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette paying attention when he comes back in on the Free FM. I'm Mike Goodell sitting across from me, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. You know, Goodell, what I love about our listeners and about people in general is we bring up this question of eugenics and should you be able to change people from gay to straight and should you be able to make deaf people hear and that kind of stuff. And we get, you know, four or five phone calls, get maybe a couple dozen emails, but man. We mentioned that it was David Bowie with ram horns. We almost shut down the internet with people saying, no, Tim Curry.
David Bowie was the Goblin King in Labyrinth.
Yeah, okay.
With Mike Motion's hands.
But yeah.
So I got those two confused.
Yeah, why would you?
Why wouldn't you? Exactly. Those are the same movie.
Yeah.
Identical movie.
I didn't see either one of them. I didn't see, you know me and fantasy. I do not like fantasy movies. I don't like science fiction. Company of Men was okay, but it didn't seem that science fiction. There was like real shooting in it and stuff. But Natasha, as always, we do our show mostly. We set up Natasha.
For jokes.
We set her up. We do a show. We work for a half an hour. Then Natasha comes in and rams it home, so to speak. The difference between ram's horns, this is written by Natasha, our friend. The difference between ram's horns and Satan horns is that ram's horns are curved and Satan's horns are not real. She says Bowie was not in Legend, but he did play a devilish character in Ball, B-A-A-L.
I don't know.
Ball.
Let me see that one.
And if you know him, forward my pics and contact info, as always, says Natasha. I did meet David Bowie. I went out for dinner. This was a great dinner with Iggy Pop, David Bowie, and Lou Reed. Four of us went out to dinner. And there was one subject of conversation, which was Lou kind of presented me as this freak, you know. This is a guy who's never done drugs. And he said, Penn has never done drugs and never drank. And Iggy Pop said, you drank a beer? And I said, no, I've never drank and never done drugs. David Bowie went, speed? I went, no, I've never done drugs, I never drank. And Iggy Pop went, like acid? I said, no, I never did drugs, never drank. And Bowie said, pot? And that was the whole evening was them. It's like
a friend
of mine who doesn't like seafood. And I say, tuna? And he goes, no. Like oysters? No. Seafood. It's just people don't understand that. And I have another good friend.
Forrest Gump. Just listing the different kinds of shrimp.
Why are there always references to Forrest Gump? I didn't see Forrest Gump.
You should see Forrest Gump.
You think I should?
Well, just because there are a lot of references in it that you're missing.
Okay. You know what?
My wife has never seen Young Frankenstein.
It's not that good.
Teresa,
let me tell you.
There are a million references to it. Everyone in everyday life does, you know. Jokes from...
Well, the thing that bothered me is I heard that Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. Mm-hmm. You never can tell what you're going to get. I just did a personation.
You have something you never saw.
Something I never saw.
Nice.
See, that's
and it was
comes.
Good.
Yeah, thanks.
Which is really frightening.
And that bothered me a lot, that life is like a box of chocolates. You're never sure what you're going to get. Because the chocolates have a key at the top of the box.
Oh, good chocolates. So if you have a good life...
What he really means is life is like a box of chocolates with the box taken away without a key. And then there is some standard...
It's like a box of chocolate. If you don't bother to look at the key, it's kind of hard to live.
Okay, but exactly. Life like a box of chocolates. But also, the chocolates, there also is a codification of what they mean from company to company. Like the square with the squiggle of a certain kind is a caramel.
Sure.
From box to box. So what he really means is life is a box of chocolates without the key and with the top sanded down. But also, even if you didn't have the key and the tops were sanded down, you could still tell the order. So life is like a box of chocolates taken out of the box without the key with the top of the chocolate sanded down. That's how far you have to go to make that
metaphor. You can also take a little bite of each one, and if you didn't like it, you could switch. And so life would be an exploration through which you could choose the ones you liked, the path you enjoyed.
But that's not his point. The point that I understood was you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, he's an idiot. He's playing an idiot. That's what we have to start by pointing out, if he's playing an idiot.
He's playing an idiot. And I did not want to see a movie that aggrandized an idiot.
And it did.
Like our radio show.
You don't want to be accused of plagiarizing anything.
No, I did not. I did not want to. We have the original show. That
run, Pen, run.
The glorify. You know, that bothers me. When we had the topless show in after our show, you know, at the Rio, there was a show called Showgirls After Ours.
Yeah.
And we did this gag in the show where I vanished on stage and then appeared in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to run through the hallway, and our show was before the topless show. So the topless women would gather in the hallway as I ran by and go, run, Pan, run, run, Pan, run. That's another reason I want to see Forrest Gump. Is that but I want to talk to somebody on the phone. Am I getting off the subject a little bit? Okay, sure. Let's talk to Tammy. How you doing, Tammy?
I'm doing great, Pan. I love your show.
Thanks so much, Tammy. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I definitely do not think they should eliminate the gay gene at all. I mean, where would our society be without some of our greatest fashion designers, greatest, you know, musical theater, for crying out loud, artists, writers? I mean, our world would have no glitter.
Well,
can you imagine a world without glitter? I don't think so.
Well, okay, I can see that. But I mean, I'm saying you don't want people to have the choice, or you just think that if you had the choice, do you have kids?
I do. I have a daughter.
So if you were having a son, you could make the choice to not have him fixed from being gay, so to speak, and then you could have him be a fashion designer. You could corner the market.
I could. I could have him write the next big musical, you know, on Broadway. You know.
Has there ever been a major musical written by a straight guy?
Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, they were all pretty closeted back then, so you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I also wonder if all Christmas carols were written by gays, you know. Let it snow, you know, weather outside is frightful. But the
Jingle bells.
Jingle bells. All that stuff I wonder about.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's certainly no doubt that gays have enriched our culture probably more than straights. I mean, to be perfectly perfectly honest, I mean, in terms of culture, when I was in high school, I wanted so badly to be gay because everything that was cool seemed to be gay. William Burroughs, all this stuff, all the really hip out stuff seemed to be really 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 gay and cool. And I thought, boy, that would be a hip thing to do, because if even your sexuality is underground, how hip is that? And then you know, that was 73. I graduated from high school, and right about
and then
that
you met
time,
a girl.
Exactly. No, but I mean, then gays started getting more mainstream, and I guess that was good for our society as a whole, and certainly for the lives of individuals. But for the sexiness of it, you know, I thought it was much that the idea of gay sex was much, much sexier when it was illicit.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, and going back to that whole thing with the twins, I've been with two twin guys.
Have
one
you really?
Was gay and one was straight.
But have you had sex with the two of them together?
All the three of us together.
Yeah. Whoa.
Let's hope that was a made-up name. Stone could be a made-up name.
Let me say it, okay?
Okay.
So do not say the names. But you were with, one was straight and one was gay, and you were in bed with both of them?
Yes.
Fraternal or paternal?
They were identical.
Identical.
Wow.
Wow. You have that story. You've been dining on that story for a while, haven't you?
Well, it's been a while. It was many, many moons ago.
Uh-huh. But it's still a great, great, great story, Tammy.
Oh, it's a great story. I tell it, you know, when I think about it at parties, yeah.
Do you have a whole list of exciting sex stories that you just can tell?
There's a
you.
Because, you know, Michael Goudeau believes, and I'm gonna speak for you.
Thank you again.
I'm going to speak for you here. That, you know, all that life is gathering good stories. And if you've had a threesome with identical twins, one who's gay and one who's straight, you have got yourself a good story. Tammy, you have lived a very good life.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm working on still more.
Okay, no, I'm not
don't
saying,
give up yet.
I'm not saying that I'm not euthanizing you. I'm just telling you. So far, you're already way above. So thanks a lot for calling, Dan.
Okay, you have a great day.
You know, I want to hear so much more about that story. I really do. But I just...
part of the living life that way is, if it were a story, is the closer you come to dying, the better the story.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's necessarily true.
I know you
don't. Because sex stories don't have necessarily close to dying, and they can be great stories. The best stories that I have are sex stories. You know, and even the blow dryer story, which I do believe is I'm very proud of that story. even that story is that's good. That's sex, and it's close to death.
Exactly.
So it's both things. I guess you might be right there.
That's my point there.
I think you're absolutely right. The closer you come to death, the better the story. You have falling out of the sky is your story,
I have
right?
lots of death stories, yes. Near-death stories, many, many.
What's the closest you've come to dying?
Falling 75 feet was probably the one. That's
75 feet's a long way.
It's a long way.
Well, and you were falling in a contraption.
I was arrested in Mexico and put in jail.
Oh, that's
pretty good.
We've never told that story on the air.
That should be next January. We'll tell that one.
The Mexican jail story. Want to take a quick call? Because everybody's been on the line in a while, like those other ones. Hi, Albany, what's up?
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I was like,
she's falling asleep. We've had her on for an hour.
No. I was doing something. Actually, I was I thought it was really intrigued. I didn't know that they were coming out with such a pill where they had been doing the research. I have a lot of friends who are gay,
mm-hmm.
and I made a comment to somebody how, like, great it would be to write a book and stuff where, like, the parents would love for their kid to be gay or, like, want their kid to be gay but the kid's not and, like, something and just joking about it. And she said that's really surprising because a lot of gay people that she knew wouldn't want their children to be gay.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, in a society where gays are treated so badly, and, you know, in our society, as hard as we're working on getting rid of homophobia and getting rid of racism and getting rid of all that, as hard as we work on it, everybody that is outside the norm does have a lot of problems. So I think that doesn't necessarily mean that they believe that there's something intrinsically wrong with being gay. It could just mean that they think that it's a little...
You really want
life.
Your kid to have the easiest life,
yeah.
and the fewest problems.
I think you do. Yeah. So I think that's the whole thing too. I mean, that's what's so odd about the people, you know, the deaf people that don't want the implants for their kids and stuff. Those who live outside the law and want that for their families too are, I think, a rarer breed. You know, you know, you don't have that many bikers that tattoo their kids with gang, you know, insignias when they're young, because you wish for a better life for your kid. I think that when you have gay parents who want to have gay kids, that's automatic, absolute proof that we're living in a country and in a world with total freedom. So.
Yeah. Oh, and just to, like, comment to what that lady said about the gay sheep, the proof to the conservatives.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, like, kind of tell her a lot of conservatives don't believe in Darwinism.
Right. So.
Yeah. So they're definitely not going to believe. You know, if. Well, you can't throw that out.
There's a basic rule about the superstitious. When they win, they win. When they tie, they win. And when they lose, they win. And that's all you got to know. Thanks a lot, Ebony. Thanks
no
so much
problem.
For calling.
Take
Thank
care.
You. Thank you. So that's what we solved here. We've decided that I think the most important piece of information we got, that there's one guy named Dave, that if I were wearing a Ram suit, he would mount me. And I want to say very proudly that I cannot think of one song from Paul McCartney's album Ram. So some part of my brain has been somewhat cleansed. This is Penn Jillette telling you people just want to be free.